Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Obviously, we'll watch it. I think it's a different outfit. They got some absolute studs on this defense. Obviously, their front is really solid. They get after the quarterback really well. They work together really well. And their front and the back end are working in unison right now. So we're going to have our hands full and you know, try not to, you know, we only have one game of tape. So we gotta trust our base rules and be prepared for whatever they can throw at us.
Josh, after you've watched the film and done all the breakdown, when you're done with that, do you reflect on the game the other night and just realize how many things had to go right for that to end up happening? Because, I mean, a lot of stuff happened in that game to happen what happened.
Right? Yeah, well, I think I've said it in some of these interviews before of sometimes you need the ball to bounce your way, and it did on Sunday night. And just fortunate enough, we can come away with that with a win. Now, obviously, that has no bearing or impact on next week's game, or this week's game, I should say, whatsoever. So, you know, we gotta wash it and forget about it, and put our best foot forward this week.
As Joe on Monday was, you know, kind of lamenting some of the, you know, three and outs, and, you know, you look at the end result, 41 points, and certainly not that the offense is broken, but what were the team meetings like on Monday? Because he took a tone of, you know, you guys had a lot to clean up, despite scoring 41 points.
100%. I've always kind of lived under the fact that the film is never as good as you think, and it's never as bad as you think. So yeah, there's lots to clean up, a lot of things that I can do better and be better at. And you know, there's a couple of times where ball was in harm's way. You know, I got to clean that up. But yeah, just making sure that each and every play that we have our plan, we have our answers, and we go out, try to execute to the best of our abilities.
Such an emotional game on Sunday. How do you?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's one, being around the guys, having a good week of practice, making sure that, again, we played a lot of plays on the offensive side of the ball, so making sure that we're getting our rehab work done and hitting the tubs and getting adequate sleep and recovery. So, you know, our focus is the next one, so that's where it's at.
Josh, there's been a few times where the quarterback sneak has been stopped. How confident are you still in that?
Very confident. You know, I know sometimes at the goal line, defenses bring in some bigger personnel, and you know, they gap down quite well. So, you know, we'll look at it, we'll learn from it, and you know, we'll figure it out.
Kind of related, was talking to Joe Brady this week about 2-point conversions in general. And, you know, they're down around the league, just like as a trend league-wide. Why are they so challenging? Like, what goes into that play that makes it so hard, no matter what the call is?
Well, it's a tight field. When you're down there, obviously you're at the end line as another defender. What teams are doing defensively down there and playing some zero and zero sloop and having zone eyes and passing things off, and it just gets real tight. So, you know, got to be good with ball placement, got to be good with concepts down there and making sure that, again, we're practicing those plays and when it comes down to it, making sure that we're trying to, or we are converting on those. So I know we weren't good enough in that aspect this last game.
After the first three quarters, things were sort of slow to develop for Keon and for John Palmer. Certainly not the case in the fourth quarter. To get those two guys going the way they were in that final quarter, what can that mean for this offense?
Yeah, it means a lot. You know, any time that we can get the ball into our playmakers' hands, especially down the field, you know, it's good things for us. So, again, we got to keep working hard, keep finding ways to get the ball to them, and start faster.
No, we all know about the work that he put in. Because he was unhappy about his season. I was Sean and Brandon sort of insinuated that he needed to be better. What have you seen since he's been back, and then how that manifested the other night?
I think just growth as a, not just as a player, but as a person. Learning how to be a professional football player. I mean, he's in here as early as anybody, getting rehab and work done on his body, and you know, doing all the little things right. So I think, you know, when you got guys that care about their job, do the little things right, they're there where they're supposed to be, typically good things happen, and that's just what you saw this game.
Sean had mentioned that this game's going to be like a really hard week because there was a lot that we didn't like in the game, and you would imagine you guys didn't like. But I guess how difficult is it kind of coming off of a game that there was so much excitement and it was a win? Feels like it'd be a lot easier to turn the page after a loss than it is after a win.
Yes, and I mean, I just think it's hard sometimes for our guys. You know, we played, I think, almost 90 plays. So a lot of stress on the body. So making sure guys are getting their rehab work done and doing everything they can to feel physically as best as they can come Sunday. And, you know, playing a late game, and we had a Sunday at 1 o'clock. It's been a while since we've had a 1 o'clock game on Sunday. So just making sure that our schedules are in routine and just, again, trusting the process.
Is it hard to kind of, like, come off of the high of a win? Like, I know we always hear about the...
Not necessarily. I think we got a pretty good group in terms of where our focus is at.
Could you sense the emphasis to make this a harder week here, even just on a Wednesday?
Yeah, I know. Coach talked about it in the meeting room today, and you know, this is it's a tough sport. It's not for everybody. You got to be a little sick to love this game, and we got some sickos.
You guys have won so many games. Do you think Sean has become adept at making sure that, you know, you guys don't float to New York on a high off that game, like bringing you down after wins by making sure that, you know, that's not what resonates into the next week?
Maybe. I think he trusts his leaders on this team to do that for him, though. So I think, you know, internally, you know, as players, we're making sure of that, too.
You guys, after the game, talked about your calmness down 15 points on the sideline. Where does that come from for you to kind of, like, be calm despite the situation like that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's been a learned thing over the last few years, and just understanding when and when not to press and when to, you know, just kind of calm the storm and ride the wave, if you will. So just knowing that, you know, in big moments, our defense, knowing that they're going to step up and make some plays for us. And then obviously when it's our turn, it's our job to make those plays. And just the confidence that I have in our guys.
So obviously you guys have been teammates your whole careers, but with a player like Adam, it felt like he was really disrupting things the other night. When you're going up against somebody who is doing that, how difficult does it make your job as the quarterback? Obviously it would be Ed, but
yeah,
Somebody who's doing things like that.
Interior pressure is by far, I think, the hardest thing for an offense and a quarterback especially. And, you know, I know the edge guys get paid a lot and they get after the quarterback a lot. But typically when you're able to step up into a clean pocket, you're living pretty good. Now, when you're needing to step up and there's nowhere to step up because of interior pressure, that makes it really tough on us. And I think he's doing a great job of that. And, you know, we're going to need more of that going forward.
Josh, working with Terrell Bernard as co-captain, just how have you seen him evolve as a leader in the last couple of years?
I think just the weight that his words carry, it just means a lot when he says something. Guys respect him, guys trust him. Again, another guy that's just constantly doing the right thing. He's in the weight room, in the training room, in the tubs, watching film at the same time. Just, again, the small things that aren't small things, and people notice that.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And
yeah,
you're seeing exactly,
you know,
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland,
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.